That's exactly what we do here. We don't fool around. We offer explanations galore. Welcome. Welcome to More Than Money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor, live this Saturday morning. It is November the 17th, and I'm happy to be with you. It is a pretty typical November morning, a little bit of chill in the air, of course. Not so typical in that we've got a lot of snow on the ground. Goodness, I hope that you survived Thursday's adventure in the snow in one piece. I hope all of you are happy, looking back and happy to be home and safe and sound, and all your vehicles in one piece and back in your garage where they belong. And we had some real adventures. I'll share that with you here momentarily, but we had some real adventures on our More Than Money team. Wow, indeed. And by the way, Elliot Abrams, what a good guy. I really like the guy. I like his reporting. All right, his sense of humor, I find it very funny. He's very dry. I think he and Bobby make a really, really good team. Friday morning, he jumped on to the in-depth and said, geez, I made a mistake, and really took it to heart. And he had, all right, for the Poconos, he had called for 8 inches of snow, and we got 10. I'm not really thinking that's a mistake. I mean, he called for 1 to 4. Right, at the office, we got 7 or 8, but goodness. What a stand-up guy. So many folks just trying to alibi out their way out of everything. And fantastic. If you are a loyal listener to More Than Money, you know that in general, this is how it works. Gene rambles for a few minutes, and then we get to the really important stuff, which is you. We get to the part where we're answering your questions that might be investment questions or income tax questions, social security questions, retirement questions, buying a house, selling a special property, a special kind of property. Might be wills and trusts, might be executors picking guardianships, how to use a trust in the best possible way, if at all. Could be all manner of estate planning questions or business planning questions. And we invented More Than Money because all those things I just listed to you. Last week, John and I handled, pushing a couple dozen different questions, 5 or 6 on air, 10, 15 on emails, and then ones that I had received during the week. And all of them were way more interesting than the things I just listed. They were, because they're personal. They're so personal to you. There's nothing generic that's can't even remotely be as interesting as what specifically is concerning you. And that's why, these many years later, coming up on 30 years of More Than Money Radio, we've been doing this. And here in the Lehigh Valley, I think we're in our 18th year of Saturday mornings. This is what we do. This morning came early, I gotta confess. But we exist to serve you and make you our agenda. So easiest way to do that, old school, works really well. Give us a call, 610-720-7900, 610-720-7900. And talk to the lovely and talented John Elliott. And then Gene, and we'll get you all the information that we have available. If you'd like to send us an email, that works really well. Last week, we exploded with emails. We had and every single one of them really, really good, interesting stuff. Send me an email, Gene, G-E-N-E, at askmtm.com, G-E-N-E, at askmtm.com. And we're happy to serve you in that way. And if you are further afield or if you have someone that you care about is further afield and you'd like them to join us, all they need do is have access to internet. Through the miracles of modern technology, More Than Money is now wall to wall, coast to coast, and lots of loyal listeners in California, lots of folks all across the country joining us, lots particularly throughout the South, and to all of our loyal listeners in both Georgia and Florida, I send my deepest condolences. Oh, my word, what you folks have gone through with the elections. Just goodness gracious. Bless you all. Bless you. Well, I'm blessed, and I'll borrow a line from Christmas. Christmas Carol, and God bless us everyone, because the elections, doesn't matter which side of the political spectrum you're on, but if you have folks who are further afield that would like to join us, all they need to do is log on, morethanmoneyonline.com, morethanmoneyonline.com, hit the Listen Live button, and then if you have a question, hit the Ask Gene button, and you're in the deal. 610-720-7900 is the number you should call. It's the number Philip has called. Philip, good morning.
Good morning, Gene.
How are you, sir?
A little cold, but not too bad.
Good, 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 good. Thanksgiving's coming up. We have a lot to be thankful for.
Yes, we do.
What can we do to serve you, sir?
I'd like you to discuss the savings vehicles at banks. We have a regular savings account that pays less than a penny per dollar. And there's a money market that somebody told me about. The rates are a little higher.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, what exactly is a money market, and is there any risk involved? Is it like the stock market, where they take your money and put it out on the stock market, where you take some risk, and that's why it's a little higher?
It's a very good question. Yeah, it's a very good question. And a lot of folks have similar questions. They kind of scratch their head wondering exactly what a money market is. Fairly straightforward. It's not in the stock market. It's in the bond market side of life. And a money market traditionally will take investor dollars and put them into very, very, very short-term bonds or bond equivalents, meaning they'll go out and they'll get some high quality government bonds or corporate bonds. But instead of having a 10-year maturity or a 20-year maturity, they might have a 30-day maturity. They might have a 15-day maturity. Very, 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 very short, which as a result, because those dollars are coming to maturity, meaning that they're at full face value so very quickly, the stability of a money market is generally very, very good. And when I say generally, I'm talking 99.999%. It's just remarkable over the decades that money markets have been around how very, very secure they are. The interest rates tend to vary. Right now, depending on the money market you're looking at, they could be, as low as 6 or 7 tenths of 1%. They could be as high as 1.8, 1.9, maybe even 2%. It depends on the money market manager, what kind of short-term bonds that they're using. Is there a risk? The answer is technically yes. There is a risk in the history of money markets. Money markets have failed to hang on to their investor money literally one time out of perhaps 50,000 or 100,000. And even at that point, they dropped like 1%, very, very tiny. So you can likely look at a money market and see it as an extremely safe investment. It is not typically FDIC insured. So if you get a money market at a local bank and the bank has a problem, your money market is not likely covered by FDIC insurance. So that's one thing that you might want to take a peek at. So if you're looking at a money market and it's being sponsored by one of the major investment companies, fill in the blanks, Vanguard, Fidelity, T. Rowe Price, etc. You can have tremendous confidence that your money's going to be okay.
One other quick question. What about access to your money? You're not locked out like in a CD. Is it like a regular savings account? You can make withdrawals, or do you have to leave it in for a specific time?
Yeah, typically money markets give you full access 24/7, so there's 100% liquidity. We have bumped into money markets recently that are paying slightly higher rates of return, right around that 2% number, where the liquidity is a 24-hour notice. So unlike a CD where you've got to wait 6 months, 12 months, 2 years, 5 years, you would have to wait 24 hours. Hey, I need my money. I can't get it Monday. I can get it Tuesday morning.
Well, that's good news. Like, I have some money. I can move it safely from my savings account to a money market and get the almost 1% higher in interest.
Not a bad deal.
Okay, Gene. Thank you very much.
Philip, thank you for the call. God bless you, sir.
Take care.
You too. Speaking of God bless, Thanksgiving's coming up. One of my favorites for two reasons. Number one, just the idea of being thankful. In my life, as I've, I was going to use the word matured. That's just too much risk with all my friends listening this morning. They're going to go, right. All right. Hey, would you accept more mature? Hey, it's a relative term. You have no idea how totally immature I used to be. And now I'm only semi-immature. Forget it. As I got older, yeah, everybody can accept that. As I got older, the opportunity to say thanks became more and more important, has become more and more important, and more valuable and more appreciated. And so that's my first reason, just the opportunity to take a breath, spend a few days with friends and family and just say thanks is fantastic. The other reason I really like Thanksgiving, as a holiday, not as an event, but as a holiday, maybe a little better than Christmas. No pressure. Christmas. Oh, man. Now what? Thought I had a good idea. Nope. They already got 3 of those. Okay. Pressure. So, I will not forget, but if I should forget between now and the end of our show, please accept my best wishes that you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, literally full of gratitude. This year's Thanksgiving is going to be a little sad for me. I saw an article that talked about Thanksgiving and that the average Thanksgiving meal has 1,800 calories. You know how they say ignorance is bliss? Man, I wish I could unlearn that. Hey, I'm having a little of this. Look at all the veggies I'm having. I'll bet this has like 200 calories in it. Oh, gosh. On Thanksgiving, I absorb 200 calories walking by the refrigerator. Hey, I'm in the same room as the refrigerator. I just picked up 200 calories. So, goodness gracious. 610-720-7900. Thank you to Philip for breaking the ice. And hopefully those of you who have questions will follow suit and we'll be able to share some ideas with you. Gene@askmtm.com works very well. And, of course, More Than Money Online.com works well as well. See how I did that? Nice. Okay, John, here's an important question. It's my new favorite question. Why should you never, ever, ever play poker with the animals in the jungle? Easy. Too many cheetahs. Hey, Thanksgiving's coming up. At Thanksgiving, there's going to be a 7-year-old at the table. All right, you can't use poker with a 7-year-old. I get that, but I don't know what. Chutes and ladders? Why should you never play chutes and ladders with? Why should you never play Clue with? Yeah, you'll figure it out. You are going to be the hit of Thanksgiving dinner, or you're going to get hit at Thanksgiving dinner, one or the other. Speaking of getting hit, I took a hit this week. I shared, and this is kind of a reward for folks to get up early enough to hear the first half hour, because we get lots of folks going, hey, I missed the half hour, but or missed the hour. Hey, I heard you from 10 minutes to 10 on. little treat for folks who tune in early. I like to share the poison pen letters I get and the emails I get, because they're so much fun. Oh, my gosh. I got this one really early this morning. Our TV show is rebroadcast several times a week, and apparently it is rebroadcast from 6 to 6:30 on Saturday mornings, because we often get phone calls at the office at 6:40 going, hey, just saw your show, hey. And most folks are really nice. This gentleman, I try to watch your show when it starts like that. Sorry, it's too much fun. I try to watch your show, but your political partisanship, easy for me to say, skews your opinion. Fortunately, he spelled skews right, so that's good. You recently commented on the high mortgage rates under Jimmy Carter. You conveniently, no, I'm just playing it up. There's no underlines. There's no bolds. It's just, I'm just, sorry. You conveniently did not mention that they soared higher under Ronald Reagan. Viewers turn to you for information. It's your responsibility to be fair. Signed, disappointed. Well, I had a couple minutes, so I share with you my answer. Sir, thanks for watching and thanks for your comments. See, you always start nice. Disappointed, period. That happens sometimes. And there are times when I look back at my mistakes and wonder, what was I thinking? I think we've all done that. Not today. Under Carter, average mortgage rates. By the way, I know I have lots of listeners out there who are really, really good at the at Googleizing stuff. So I'm going to give you a couple facts or factoids or assumptions that occur in this next part of the email. If you're listening and you want to Googleize them and see how far off I really was, I would appreciate that. Under Carter, average mortgage rates soared to over 17% on 30-year mortgages. Actually, I was very active in the real estate field at that time, and we saw 18s, 19s, and for a very brief period of time, we also saw 20s. That is what Reagan inherited. When Reagan left office, rates hovered around 10%. Impressive. It appears that you feel responsibility to be fair rests only on me. Your political skew prevented you from hearing the important point, being today's rates are rising, but in context of historical rates are still very, very low. I hope young people, I'm thinking particularly millennials who have no memory of Carter or Reagan particularly, I'm hoping young people will recognize that and continue to achieve the American dream of home ownership. I hope you continue to watch and learn. If not, I shall miss you. Thanks. Thanks so much. 610-720-7900. If you have Googleized mortgage rates for either Jimmy Carter and or Ronald Reagan and found me to be either reasonably correct or in error, letting me know would be a lovely thing to do this morning. That would be very, very kind. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. I do want to circle back to Philip's call for a moment. We talked about money market accounts. There are a fair number of you who have been quite aware that interest rates are rising. You may be aware either because there have been discussions on shows perhaps like mine or other shows talking about the impact of rising interest rates, or you may have actually noticed that your bank, you're getting a slightly higher rate of interest, or they're offering slightly higher rates of interest on CDs, etc. There are now a fair number of ways, money markets included, where you can get a what most folks, especially comparatively speaking, comparing to a year or two or three ago, where more money markets paid, what's that? Zero, like literally 0.01, as close to zero as they possibly could. Now we're finding money market rates and short-term CDs, three-month CDs, paying 1.8, 1.9, 2%, 2.1, short-term CDs, FDIC insured, totally safe within the realms of human ability. And yet some folks are finding that surprising. So if you are surprised find your interest rates being really disappointing, please be aware that there are a fair number of options, alternatives, where you can get reasonable rates of return. Now, to be fair, going from 0 to 2%, is that going to change anybody's life? It actually might, and here's why. If you have a substantial sum of money, I'm picking a number, $100,000 in the bank, making fundamentally zero, and then all of a sudden you're fundamentally making two, that's $2,000 in a year. That's a lot of money. Where I come from, that's a lot of money. For you folks, that might be chump change. If you're Nancy Pelosi, those are crumbs. Oops, that was my political partisanship. But $2,000 may very well make a huge difference. Or there's another way that it could make a huge difference. What if you've been in the stock market for a number of years and now your agita is off the charts and you're saying, I this is really troubling me, but I feel like I have to stay to make a decent rate of return. Well, if your definition of decent rate of return happens to be 2%, you don't have to stay. How cool is that? How absolutely cool is that? 610-720-7900, Gene at AskMTM.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. 2 minutes. I'm going to do a real quick one. Friend of mine listens to your show, said he heard you talking about hybrid retirement plans. I don't know what they are. Is this available to anyone retiring? Where do I get more information? A hybrid retirement plan is really a personal choice. Hybrid retirement plans are, it's just a clever turn of a phrase to talk about folks who are retiring, but they're not leaving the workforce completely. They are giving up the 40, 50, 60, 70 hour a week work and the tremendous stress and pressure perhaps that comes with that, and they're trading that in for retirement, but perhaps using part-time work to generate an income that will either lessen or eliminate their need to draw from their retirement funds immediately. So as a result, the hybrid is kind of a transition, building a bridge from full-time employment to zero employment by having part-time employment in the middle. Simple idea. By the way, very effective idea and can be a financial lifesaver. Speaking of lifesaver, that's Natalie Merchant. That was the best segue I had. That's all I got. 610-720-7900. Gene at AskMTM.com. MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. Now's your time to get yourself on hold. And we'll answer your questions right after this on More Than Money. I don't know how you keep on giving. Welcome back to the home of explanations. You've got More Than Money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advice. That's so wrong, John. That is so wrong. John is being very immature, and I'd like to apologize to everyone on... Wait a second. It's actually very funny. Okay, I got so many. I just don't know where we want to start. 610-720-7900. Save me. Just ask your question so that I don't have to figure this out. Chris and Stan are on their way up from the 410. These are friends of ours. Very, very good folks. Very wonderful folks. They have been so very kind. They have a daughter who's best friends with one of our daughters. They went to Lebanon Valley College together, and now Mackenzie's part of a physician assistant training program. Goodness, second year, she's doing rotations, and she's staying with us for 6 weeks as she does her pediatric rotation. And she is so sweet, obviously a product of excellent parentage. That's the only explanation that makes any sense whatsoever. It's, by the way, it's the same explanation I give when anybody compliments any of my daughters. Well, obviously, excellent parentage. That's, please. She's very, very sweet. She keeps thanking us. And the reality is we are so happy to have her. So Chris and Stan are coming up, and we're looking forward to that. We'll have some friends over this evening, and that'll be great fun as we gear up for Thanksgiving. We of course want you to have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Hopefully everything goes well for you indeed. 610-720-7900. Gentleman writes, my question is about how my wife and I can sell our homes, plural. My question is about how my wife and I can sell our homes and then buy one home together without getting slammed on income taxes. Okay, that now it's starting to make sense. I lost my first wife to breast cancer 6 years ago. Bless you. My wife lost her first husband to pancreatic cancer about the same time. Oof. We met in church and have been blessed to find each other. That's fabulous. We got married in August. We each own homes that we've had for years. My wife's home they bought in 1990 for $185,000 and is now worth about $400,000. My wife and I bought my home in 1982 for $2,010. It's now worth about $650,000. We want to sell both homes and buy one together, but our new house will only cost us about $300,000. How do we do all this without getting hit with big income tax bills? Okay, let's start with some basics. The rules about selling residences are different than the rules about selling basically any other type of real estate, and particularly any other type of real estate investments. If you make a profit on a rental on a commercial piece of property on land, that's capital gains. You're going to pay tax. If you make a profit on your residence, kind of what this gentleman has described, you may or may not pay capital gains tax. And here's kind of what how that works. Assuming that there's a gain, if you are a single individual, you can exclude $250,000 of gain. So both of these folks are individuals. They can exclude $250,000 of gain per home. So if they end up selling both homes, they're going to save the capital gains tax on $500,000 as kind of a minimum. In her case, pretty straightforward. $400 minus $250 means she might pay tax on $150, but no. The original cost was $185,000, which is higher than the $150,000. She will pay no income tax on her home. Good deal. His gain, on the other hand, is $440,000. So assuming that they sell their homes kind of simultaneously, his initial $250,000 of gain is tax-free. He is, at least in theory, exposed to tax on $190,000, which at the maximum would be about 20%. Maximum. It could very well be much lower than that, but could be that high. That's the maximum. But there are a couple things that might soften all this. What they paid for their homes is the beginning point of the calculation. The second piece of the calculation is what they will pay to sell their homes. There's going to be some cost involved. If they use a realtor, the commission is deducted from the profit. If they don't use a realtor, if there's no commission, there will still be closing costs. There may be legal fees, there may be accounting fees, there may be transfer taxes, etc. Those are deductible. They will be relatively smaller numbers than a commission might be. A commission on a $650,000 house might be $35,000 or $40,000. It could be a huge number, which would dramatically affect the taxes. But transfer costs outside of the commissions would be relatively modest numbers. Where they might pick up some significant tax savings is in the tabulation of the improvements that they've made to those homes. And I'm going to correct that right away. We don't need to worry about her home. She's already covered. There's no kind of strategery, planning, cleverness necessary. She's good. It's his home that we're concerned about. Since 1982, the question is, has he made any capital improvements? Capital improvements is defined as something that makes either maintains the value of the property or improves it. So, brand new roof, capital improvement. Oh, sure, sure. Painting the front door, not so much. Remodeling the kitchen. Oh, sure. Big money. All of these things can be added up. Let's see, 1982, so 36 years worth of spending money. And all those are deductible against the profit. So currently he's faced with a profit of approximately 190. And if we subtract out the closing costs on the sale of his home, by the way, you would also subtract out the closing cost on the purchase of the home, assuming you can find those documents from 36 years ago. Yeah, good luck with that. A lot of folks do. A lot of folks have all that stuff, but that will help too. So this may trim the bill dramatically. Now, let's take it one step further. Let's assume for a second that he's looking at the gain on his house and saying, gosh, $35,000 or $40,000. I really don't want to pay that. We can fix it. It's going to be a two-step process, though, for this husband and wife. We sell her home. She pays no tax. She, now being his wife, moves into their home and lives there as their residence, because a married couple can sell their residence and avoid $500,000 of gain. Now, I've been kind of researching this a little bit. The folks that seem to know suggest that she would have to live there, now that they're married, have to live there for 2 years, make it their primary residence for 2 years. But living there for 2 years would, in essence, pay them $35,000 or $40,000. And maybe that actually works out, selling one home first, living in his home, save all that money while they're looking for this next home. And some folks are suggesting, because of rising interest rates, that home prices are going to level off, maybe even go down a little bit. So maybe they get a bargain. But very, very interesting. By the way, for those of you out there that are listening and you heard me discuss, this gentleman lost his first wife to cancer. His current wife lost her first husband to cancer, and now they're getting married. If you talked to financial advisors 30 years ago, when I had already been a financial advisor for 750 years because I have 780 years of experience. So 30 years ago, when you talk to financial advisors, young whippersnappers all, about seniors remarrying, it was incredibly rare. It virtually didn't happen. And now, this question, the particulars are unique to their situation, but the scenario, phew, we see it all the time. We see it all the time. And if it's not necessarily getting married, it's, as we used to say, living in sin. Woo! You rascals, you. You 80-year-olds shacking up. All right, I often feel like after having said that, that we should probably have the discussion about contraception because you just don't want to be surprised. Hey, think about Abram. How's a man of 100 supposed to have a baby with a woman of 90? Hey, God has his way. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. Okay, this looks interesting. I will soon be 65. I've been widowed for 2 years. I have four children and four grandchildren. I received my Social Security and my husband's two pensions. Nice. Together, they cover my bills, and I actually get to save a little bit every month. I have no debts. I have $46,000 in the bank for emergencies. My question is about my pension. My employer is offering me a lump sum of just over $133,000, or I can get $730 a month for my lifetime. Which is the best choice for me? Well, okay, let's think out loud here for a second. You don't need the money. I'm sorry, you don't need the income. It's your money. You absolutely need it. It's yours. But you don't need the income. So at first blush, receiving $730 a month for your lifetime may not be the best option for you because you don't need the income. One of the real reasons why the $730 a month is not a great option, perhaps, is because it dies when you die. And so $133,000 will be lost to your four children and four grandchildren. So initially, at least, and in a very simplistic way, taking the lump sum, the $133,000, rolling that to an IRA, managing that, investing that well, keeping that preserved for your family over your lifetime is a very reasonable option for you to consider. A second reasonable option for you to consider is think about the fact that, excuse me, you get $730 a month guaranteed for as long as you live. Maybe look at a life insurance program. You're 65, young, hopefully in good health. And if that is the case, you may find that you could provide your $133,000 for only a fraction or some fraction of that $730 a month. And then if it's in a life insurance policy, when you pass, your family receives it income tax free. If you accept the $133 as a pension lump sum going into an IRA rollover, when you pass, your family will pay income taxes on the entire $133. If you can transform this into a life insurance policy, they will receive the same money or more. I have no idea what premiums might be for a woman 65 in good health, but you might be able to secure a significantly larger bequest inheritance for your family income tax free. So take a very close look at that indeed. 610-720-7900. That's the number that Jim has called. Jim, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Gene.
How can we, sir?
Gene, the last last couple of weeks, there's been this commercial on radio that it's just, for some reason, just rubs me the wrong way, and I need your input on this. It's about this company that help people out if they back, have owed back taxes to the IRS. And in this particular commercial, this person named Louis or something, the IRS finally caught up with him, and he owes like tens of thousands of dollars. At the end of the day, he pays $100, and he said he's living comfortably. How does that work? What means do these companies have with the IRS to be able to negate tens of thousands of dollars of owed taxes?
Like
me, as a schmuck like me, why don't I just? I'm speaking to you, but why don't I just stop paying taxes? Hire this company to just get me to not pay taxes.
Yeah, Jim, I'm with you, and I'm with you like more than 100%, if that's humanly possible. I put this in the same category as the commercials that I hear about. Don't let those credit cards try to convince you you have to pay them back. You don't. Well, you know what? First of all, there's some personal responsibility issues that I have a real problem with. There are issues that my interest rates on my credit cards, if I were carrying a balance, which I don't, but if I did, are raised to ridiculously high levels because they have to cover all the deadbeats that run up bills for, in many, many cases, absolutely irresponsible issues, buying absolute junk, and then defaulting on it and getting somebody to convince the credit card companies that they just don't have the money and they settle for pennies. That's what this company is doing for income tax settlements. These kind of companies have been around forever. And in order to get a compromise from the IRS, you have to demonstrate that not only are you unable to repay this money, you are unlikely to ever be unable. The average American taxpayer, you and me, number one, we would never think about doing this. Number two, we don't want to trash our credit rating, which is important to us. Number three, four, five, whatever it is, we are not in a position where we could, with any legitimacy, turn to the IRS and say, we have no money and never will. That's how these guys get out from under these big tax bills. By the way, the settlement company gets a big slice of the pie, and of course they are highly motivated to get as many folks under whatever category of they got into real deep trouble as they possibly can to settle these things. It rubs me the wrong way. I think it rubs a lot of people the wrong way. Obviously, since they keep running the ads, they're working, which means there's a fair number of folks out there that are saying, hey, If you can get me off the hook, I don't really care about my credit score. I don't care about my responsibility as an American citizen. Knock yourself out.
And that's exactly what rubs me the wrong way. I mean, like I said, I pay off my I pay off my credit card bills every month. I pay my taxes. Obviously I try to pay the minimum I can, but I pay my taxes. I've never had to owe anybody anything, and I just all of a sudden I hear these commercials, and it just reeks of irresponsibility and selfishness.
God bless us, everyone, my friend.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Yeah, God bless you, and have a great Thanksgiving.
You too.
Right. Lots of stuff goes on that makes me scratch my head. Now, here's kind of the inverse of all that. Here's I hope that you'll see my connection rather quickly. Sorry, I've been watching too many courtroom dramas. I'm sorry, Your Honor, you'll see the connection in my next three or four questions. Okay, so be patient with me. There's a movement afoot called FIRE. Financial independence, retire early. I've gotten a number of emails in the last 3 months or so asking about this movement asking if it's legitimate, asking if it's even possible. And this is the exact opposite of the irresponsibility. Hey, you charged all those credit card bills, but you don't have to pay them back. Let somebody else pay them back. We can negotiate you out of that so that you can be effectively a deadbeat. Ooh. Same thing on the tax side. FIRE, financial independence, retire early, is built on the premise that you learn strategies, techniques, ideas for living on half of your income. Very interesting idea. Now, some of you, as soon as you heard it, you went, no way in hell. I can't do that. My income's not that high to begin with, and I just can't do it. I get it. It's not for everybody. It simply isn't for everybody. But for the people where it fits, we're seeing reports of folks who are in their late 20s that expect that by age 35, they will no longer need to work. They will be completely debt free. They will have trained themselves to live on very, very low rates of low rates of income, and they will have saved enough by living on half their income. Pick a number. You make 50, you learn to live on $25,000, $2,000 a month. Translation, after taxes, you can't save 25, but maybe you're saving $20,000 a year. Well, if you're living on $2,000, $24,000, you need, $500,000 to generate that income. You're saving $20,000 a year, so maybe it's 15 years. So you start at 25. By the time you're 40, you have a very low living requirement, standard living requirement, expense level, and you saved a ridiculously large sum of money. Lots of ways to skin the cat to get that to happen. That's a very, by the way, the commercials for we'll get you out from under your taxes, the commercials for we'll get you out from under those credit cards, those nasty credit card companies. How dare they? You charged that 58-inch flat screen that one of your buddies, after you got drunk, threw a beer can through it, and now you don't want to pay? How dare they expect you to pay and be responsible for actually pay? This is, those commercials are everywhere. When was the last time you heard a commercial for FIRE? Well, like never. Maybe you've never even heard the term. Until recently, I knew that was a thing, and in many ways, I think that's exactly how I got where I am today. And of course, we can always talk about that maybe a little more in detail, and if after the break that's of interest to you. But folks who are flying under the radar, working hard, saving a bunch of money, retiring early, becoming financially independent, in spite of everything that's going on in politics that sometimes makes you think differently, America is still the greatest country in the history of civilization. Period. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. We're taking your questions and lots more in the final hour after this on More Than Money.